Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. 1 year ago, to about this time last year, they were threatening government shutdown.
Mm.
And you're going to hear from whitehouse.gov, you're going to hear the president talk about if they fail to fund Planned Parenthood, if they fail to fund Planned Parenthood, then I am going to shut down. The government's going to be shut down. If they don't, you know, and the issue was offerings to Moloch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
That was 1 year ago. And it's like, we have such short-term memories. And so you're going to see firsthand from whitehouse.gov where he's talking to Planned Parenthood saying, you know, this Congress, by the way, when you hear Congress, they're talking about you.
Right. You, the people.
And even the congressmen don't even know that anymore. Doesn't seem the majority of them, because when they get up on you see them on C-SPAN and all, they're talking about as their political parties or something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's like, you are, you know, you don't want to negotiate with this political party. It's like, dude, we didn't send you there as a political party. We sent you there as a representative of us, which is supposed to say you're refusing to talk to the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the semantic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not you, bro.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sir, ma'am. It's not. It really isn't. You're 532-34 folks that we sent to represent us in a representative form of government. And please change your semantics. Let's just don't drive this thing into the ground here. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the American people when they say they don't want to talk to Congress, because it's called representative government. Remember all the people that you went and saw and shook their hands with and that type of thing, and they asked you questions, and some you answered and some you didn't. Some you said go to the website, all that kind of stuff. Those are folks making a decision whether they're going to get to represent you. Did you represent their values? So when you get there, don't dump them and jump on some party system. Remember their faces. They're the ones that sent you there.
That's right.
And word it semantically correct so that when the folks that really are struggling with taking any time to understand their country and their responsibility in this government by the people and for the people, you know, let them understand that they're being rejected.
Yeah.
When somebody says, I want to work around Congress, they're saying, I want to work around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that are listening right now in America. And when somebody says there's just, you know, a division between Congress and the White House or the White House and Congress, well, that's like, okay, that means one person's divided from the nation. That's what that means, right?
Yeah.
Is that not right?
Yeah.
Because there's 400 and some odd congressmen represented there for 601 congressmen, one House of Representative for every 674,000. For every 674,000 people in your state, you have sent one House of Representative there to speak up for you. That's the one you have speaking up there. And by the way, senators used to be, in our Constitution, used to be selected by the House of Representatives, state House. So it was all about representing the state. Mm-hmm. And then they shut that amendment down. And now we're battling with something. The founding fathers made sure that that wouldn't happen. So we need to kind of bring that one back up again.
Sure.
Because, I mean, two folks from your state should not be holding, you know, 75 folks from your state that you sent to represent you hostage.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Anyone has more influence, it should be the House, not the Senate.
Because they're
the more direct.
Yeah.
You know, voice of the people.
Right. Well, you think about it, and you read the Constitution, what a concept, that they are the third in line for presidency of the United States. If something tragically was to happen, like a president was to be sick or something was go down, and like past presidents had a heart attack or whatever in office, and then the vice president would take over. But if something happened to the president and the vice president, it would be Speaker of the House, because that's the best representation. So to ignore you, that's the reason why they're going to the House to find the third in line for presidency, is because that's the best number. That's the best person that the people of America would have selected, because your representatives that we sent from all around the United States, one for every 674,000 people in this United States, they will make a choice, basically, in who that president is going to be quickly. And if they, I guess they don't like the current Speaker of the House, they would just change it.
Yeah.
And but that's the third person in line. So for the executive branch to come against this huge representative branch who are equal and saying that, that they're just divided, and it's like, you're one, you know, and they're many. Damn. And not only that, they're fresh. They do have a fresh ideas from their regions and stuff. So their value system, we need to listen to their value system.
Sure.
And what they're saying is, from what's being reported, is that we need to really rethink taking care of folks. We need to rethink that. But we don't need to put this, borrow more. We're borrowing 40 cents from every dollar now comes from, is borrowed.
Mm-hmm.
Every dollar we spend. And so they're wanting to raise the debt limit. And raise the debt limit means now we're going to borrow more than 40 cents on every dollar. It doesn't mean it's more than, you think, okay, we almost have 50% or plus people on entitlements, which means there's more people pulling the wagon, more people in the wagon than pulling it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Can you imagine that?
Time for somebody to get off and help with this thing. You
yeah,
know I mean?
Yeah. And so this is a very important thing. So when we talked about this yesterday, but realize when the when that's taking place, understand that's your representatives that are doing that. Sad to say, they're talking about political parties and stuff instead of
you. So
it's
not about the elephants or the donkeys. It's about the people, right?
It is about the people. And it makes me think, you know, with T.D. Jakes, at Potter's House, he was just talking about how we've got to begin to rethink our, what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to, we just become consumers.
Yeah.
And we're no longer producing things. Producing. And he's speaking to all the American folks, but all of us. And I want you to be able to see this right now. You're going to be able to see those that are watching us on WHBR. But also, I want you to be able to hear this as well. Here, bring that up so they can all see this. But this is T.D. Jakes speaking about the reality that we've become a consumer people. We've become a consumer-driven people that instead of producing, we just need to produce.
Yeah.
Let's listen up. Let's listen to T.D. Jakes. He's got so much wisdom.
Anytime you stop producing, and focus only on consuming.
That's right.
You have nothing to be proud of other than what you consume.
That's true.
If we were producing again, and historically this nation, not just African Americans, have been producers, and we were proud of our work, in the absence of any, we are not producing, we are consuming. And so the only thing we have left to be proud of is not what we made, not what we built, but what we bought. And we have to teach our children to produce again. And to your point about faith being a part of it, the very first thing that God says to Adam is be fruitful. Not be consumeful, be fruitful.
Right.
Okay? He said, I got the consuming cover. You can eat all of these trees. Be fruitful. Imitate the tree. Be fruitful. And I think that we, as a father, I had an obligation not to give my children everything they want and to demand that you be fruitful. You will work. You must do something. You can't sit around and wait on me to die to get an inheritance. You have to get a job. And those simple values that we used to have, we need them again. All Americans need them, but in particularly African Americans and minorities need them, because if you don't produce and you wait on somebody to hire you and give you a vision, you may not get there. Entrepreneurial pursuits, producing a product that we can, we don't make the stuff we use. That's true of America in general, but African Americans specifically. We don't even sell, in many cases, the stuff we buy. And until we start taking over our communities and understanding our marketplace and get our lion's share of the marketplace, we will never get up. And the other thing, we have to stop hating each other who does get up.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
Because then you put people in jeopardy. You're oppressed when you're down, and then when you get up, you're hated.
Yeah,
so there's no place out, which leads to the depression.
Right.
There's no place out. We're trapped by our own understanding of ourselves.
We just heard T.D. Jakes with the Potter's House speak great wisdom. It's like, we've got to begin to produce again. We've got to begin to produce again. We just become consumers. And it's really fun, by the way, if you just start building something, start doing something, start, you know, creating something.
Yeah.
Your God has created you in the image and the likeness of himself, and he's a creator. Mm-hmm. And when you begin to just create and design and build and take things to their next level, I mean, it just feels good. You know, I think it was Ecclesiastes that talks about that a man who works hard has a good night's sleep, has a good night's sleep. And I miss the days when media would just shut down at 11 o'clock at night with a Pledge of Allegiance, right?
I know it.
Yeah, right.
It's just like nonstop. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFM radio program, just that you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us. VFN Radio taking place. We are so excited about it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a student in a public school give a Bible to another student? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
In high school, if other vendors are setting up tables promoting certain things for kids, can you also set up a table to hand out Bibles? And the other question is, can a Christian child going to a high school hand out a Bible as a gift without any problem?
Those are both great questions. And Glenn, with regard to student-on-student distribution of religious literature, giving away a Bible, they absolutely have the right to do that. The Supreme Court in 1969 said students do not shed the right to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. That includes distributing religious literature or a Bible. I think the best way to do this is student-on-student distribution. The Bible Club may be having an outreach. I think that's the best way to approach it. With regard to the table setups, you'd have to argue that the school has established a limited public forum, which would allow for the distribution of religious literature by outside groups.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham, this reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less, take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to. Throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
It is so cool how, and I know you've been talking about this, and at the same time, you know, God, his ways are beyond our ways. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking at all the things that are happening, crazy things, but really the fulfillment of prophecies taking place rapidly.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see some really bad decisions being made by the courts and bad decisions being made by leaders and all this. And you think, oh my goodness. But at the same time, you know, and I know that we've been praying, and I'm just thankful for those that pray within the vine, and they've been faithful to pray for years now. And I know it's been like praying against a brass heaven. It just seems like, you know, you're praying, mm-hmm. are our prayers being heard? God, are you tired of this prayer? I think I'm tired of this prayer. And you just pray. But I know that you know, one of the prayers, of course, was what Lou Engle birthed at the call in D.C., Lord, End Abortion, Sin Revival, when the young guys were there. And with tape over their mouth because, mm-hmm. you know,
said life.
Yeah, said life. Yeah, life. Mm-hmm. And they were speaking for the ones that couldn't speak. And then, of course, with Mike Bickle and Lou coming together, that merged into IHOP. And then IHOP began to carry that mm-hmm. prayer. And then, you know, we benefited off of growing in wisdom from Mike Bickle's prayers. And the House of Prayers, we birthed VFN Prayer and Fasting Community. And we got the prayer part. We're working on the fasting part. We're trying to get to where John is in fasting.
Oh, yeah.
He's fading away.
That's right.
See, that's faith. That's faith. Speaking those things.
Yeah, there you go.
Speak things that are not as they are.
Right. Sounds good to me.
No, Pat is. You know, Pat is.
Jeez.
He's beating it off, though. He don't think he's fasting. Hand me that weight. What are you lifting now? Like 7,000 pounds? Anyway. And so where was I?
Life.
Oh, and so Lou Engle, and so with International House of Prayer Kansas City, you know, sometimes you just need to see what God has in your heart and what we're able to watch and experience. Because I remember asking, I think the most difficult thing you can do is to get Christians to pray. Mm. You know, longer than give me my car, give me my house, right. Give me his job.
Right.
Things,
yeah, right.
You know, non-selfish prayers. And and protect me from myself. And but the, you know, praying for 6 hours, I believe their shifts were in the House of Prayer, and they did it with music, and it really helps. But by seeing that and sowing into that, you know, God was able to begin to birth it in us. And I don't know how many years now, but quite a few years now.
Okay. We've probably 4 or 5 now.
Somebody says, you know, do you want to take on more days? Like, we're still trying to master one day. But we're believing it's going to be 7 days a week, but it's been on Mondays. But one of the prayers has been, you know, dear God, end abortion, send revival. And I like that clarity, that just boom, that's it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as we studied in Josiah, and if you haven't yet watched Josiah or listened to Josiah, I believe you have to listen to Josiah and VFN TV on our app. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find it in your app store, VFN TV. Mm-hmm. Or go to VFNTV.com and download it. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and watch it. Is, you know, Josiah, you know, we are Josiah in America. We are the ones who issue the edicts. It's different than many other countries because, you know, other countries have a king or some sort of patriarch or somebody that's kind of running it and they're kind of running the show. Oh, well, maybe. Well, we're venturing in that area, I think. Mm-hmm. But, in America, it's a government by the people and for the people. And some people say, well, you know, I don't pay attention to that. Well, realize this, that God does. And it's sort of like, you know, a king that doesn't know they're king doesn't mean they're not king. It just means they're ignorant.
That's right.
I really believe, I think it was when the great American Revolution, when King George was struggling with what he was going to do, his mother said something to him such as, you know, go be king. Because he was struggling with the whole issue, I believe. And she just said, go be king.
Wow.
You know, and it's time for America, especially Christian America, to be Josiah. And what Josiah did, Josiah was a young man that took over leadership at a young age. And that's what the Word of God says. It says that a rebellious people have young people and women rule over it, mm-hmm. what it says. And not that women can't rule or anything like that, but young people don't have the experience of going on. And so he's king. He's King Josiah. He's in the lineage of God's choice to be leader of Israel. And when he sends some people down to the building, mm-hmm. to the temple, you know, to clean it out, he just checked, you know. And so the people who normally run the money in the ministry, mm-hmm. he said, you know, I'll just give the guys I'm going to send up there, let's just step out of norm for a little bit. Let's give all the money and all the decisions to these people who are going to restore the temple,
mm-hmm.
you know. And of course they go and they begin to, of course he's king.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he says it, they're going to have to do it.
Right.
And by the way, it's the same way in America. The people rise up and begin to say what's right. You know, Washington will reflect what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And they went there. And they're digging around. And, of course, I'm sure the high priest, they start sweating, going, they're going to find the instruction manual. You know, the whole time they're thinking, the same way that somebody is hiding a kilo of cocaine that has the police searching them, they're getting closer. Mm. They're gonna find it. They're gonna find it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they had to be thinking that they're gonna get closer and closer to the Word of God, the Bible, the Word that said exactly how priests are supposed to operate, mm-hmm. how things are supposed to handle, what the temple's supposed to be look like, and all that junk going on in there shouldn't be going on in there. And so while these guys are like, I'm just going there in my own imagination, you know, sweeping out the temple and getting out some Ajax and some Clorox and
Mr. Clean
and getting the graffiti, the, you know, Jezebelic graffiti off the side, mm-hmm. and washing down the murals and busting up the little Asherah statues and, you know, cleaning stuff up, whatever it is, and running the prostitution out of it. All of a sudden, these guys run back, and mysteriously they find the Word of God.
Yeah,
and they go, "Oh well, looky what we found! Oh my goodness!
Can you believe that?"
And it's I wonder what would have happened if they wouldn't have done that.
Mm.
I wonder what would have happened if they actually would have done that. Not done that, but anyway, they did do it, and of course, they're probably thinking, well, they're going to have us read it, so we'll skip over a few mm-hmm. chapters and verses on marriage. You know, we want that out. Right. We're going to bring over things on ministry and accountability. Wow, we'll go over that. But all of a sudden, you know, King Josiah has his secretary read it. How could the secretary be reading this? Yeah, but they're not priests. They're not ordained. Listen, we already took all the money from you. We're working on the temple. We'll just let my secretary read this thing. Mm. And they begin to read, and they find out Josiah is shocked. He's just shocked that this is how things ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
And some serious stuff happened at that moment. We're talking about we are Josiah. I know, John, when you were talking to me during the break, you're hearing things such as, you know, be George Washington. Mm-hmm. And, you know, George Washington's a pretty cool dude and obviously called to be the first president and to lead this nation to where it's at. But for us to keep what God gave through George Washington, we're going to have to be Josiah.
Mm.
And pretty much at that time, the church was Josiah. They stood up for what's right. They understood that it's a government by the people and for the people. And we're talking about Israel here, and we're talking about a king named Josiah who was young. He sent somebody to the temple because it was a mess and he wanted to have it cleaned up. He just had that little, you know, I want to do something good for the church. I mean, didn't know nothing really. Believed all the stuff that people was preaching to him over and so he goes there, but God's actually leading him obviously to do this. When he gets there, he tells them to hand them all the money out of the normal way of doing things so that the people he sent there can use the money to fix this place up. It was falling right. apart and all the stuff's going on. And mysteriously, the people who were supposed to be preaching and teaching the word found the word, and it was hidden prior to that. And he had a secretary begin to read it. And as soon as he heard what God said, wouldn't it be, this is what I believe is going to begin to happen. The church, people who profess to be believers, are going to hear the anointed teaching of the word, and they're going to respond like Josiah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, what happened to the Josiah responses to the gospel? And they spoke the word, they rebelled, and they realized we are so out of God's will here. This is so not what God would have for us. This is so, we're in rebellion against God.
Right.
And he first dealt with himself. He took his clothes and he ripped it, and he just realized, I've sinned. Mm. And he confessed his own sin. He asked God to forgive him, and he began to, you know, get in this word and operate in it. But then after he dealt with himself, then he went to the people, and that he was over, and he began to speak to them the truth and the word and had them talk the very same things. And then he said, and all these things that are around here that are not of God are going to come down. And he was king. He was able to do that because he was king. Mm. And then all of a sudden God goes, man, listen, there has never been a king greater that has ever existed than mm-hmm. you. And he even says, even afterwards,
right?
This is how wow. God sees repentance. He was a mess. I mean, he didn't even know. I mean, you know, you imagine driving around without a map. I mean, he was walking as leader of God's people without a map, without the word of God, with people hiding and lying to him, obviously.
Mm. Right.
You know, living in a whole other country, going like, you're king of this country, but he wasn't even in the mindset of where he was. And God goes, whoa, you know, this is great, you know, and because all the kings before him were just, you know, all of them, but there was a procession of a lot of kings who did evil in the eyes of the Lord mm-hmm. that provoked the Lord. And God just slammed on brakes because God was fixing to bring judgment down on his people. God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, by the way. And his repentance, a leader's repentance, Josiah's repentance, somebody who has the authority to issue an edict, repentance and choice to exercise that stopped the plans of God that was going to happen to Israel, the apple of God's eyes. But this is what he said. This is what he told Josiah. He said, listen, it's not going to happen in your lifetime. It's just not going to happen because of all this innocent bloodshed that's been spilled all over Israel. Mm. It's going to happen, but it'll come happen after you. And you think about it. In all the wars there ever were in the world that from the time existed, there never was more than 1 million people killed in a battle until World War I, who just happened recently. Mm. And then you had 55 million that were killed in like 20 years later or whatever in World War II. Mm. And we have 55 million babies bloodshed in our country alone through abortion that we know of. Approximately 55 since 1973.
Wow.
When an edict was issued saying that you can kill your baby in the womb. They call it abortion. And this bloodshed, and that's what really concerns me. That's my concern is, you know, here you have this awesome king who did what was right when he found out what was right. When you know better, you do better. Mm. And God rewards that. But God says, I'm not going to forgive the innocent. I'm not going to forgive the bloodshed, the innocent mm-hmm. bloodshed. So there was a season, a Josiah season, that allowed, and for us, what we would say, it would allow a season for us to win more people to God, to live in hopes that God would even delay it more and more. Maybe he'll delay it till the last trumpet sounds. You know, you don't know. But he is one who looks for ways to exercise mercy.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't forget, you can carry us with you everywhere you go with our app. You can go to VFNTV.com and download our app. We have it for all the different devices that are out there. And you want to be encouraged, you know, turn on, you want to change your workplace. You want to change the atmosphere of your home. turn on VFN radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just let it go. Just let it go and just begin to watch things change with your children, watch things change in your life and with your marriage and your business and your workplace. And I'm telling you that the truth sets you free.
That's
and
right.
It sets your business free. And it's just a conversation. I love VFN radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN radio. And if you miss a segment that you just like catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, the whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee
mm-hmm.
while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so here we are now in America with a situation. Somebody said everybody's blaming everything on Washington. And it's like, they're not the king. They are a representation of the people who are, if you would, the kings of America, because it's a government by the people, by the Josiahs,
mm-hmm.
and for the Josiahs. And they just represent you in your school boards, your governors, your Senate, your Congress, you know, your judiciary branches, your presidents, all these guys. They just represent us. But you know what? It's 82% of regular church attenders, according to George Bonner, are just like these priests who don't even read the Word of God. They don't read, and they just listen like Josiah was prior to that, mm-hmm. or whatever people tell them. But when he actually went in the Word and began to read the Word, had the Word read by a secretary, he found out, my goodness, we are so off. You know, we deserve to be smacked
mm-hmm.
and dealt with. And it's like, listen, God was holding every king accountable for his decision to or not to do what's right. And when Josiah, despite all the evil kings prior to him, did what was right, God responded to that.
Right.
And if we in America are Josiahs, at least for a while now, you know, if we are for a while now until God just takes it away from us because we wouldn't do what was right, then we can issue edicts. We can say, listen, you know, back off on taking God out of things. Don't touch the Ten Commandments. If you replace the Ten Commandments, we're going to replace you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you keep on escalating this thing, I don't care what you say about it, we're the kings.
Right.
We're the kings. You know, and this is, I'm talking about every person in America. It's a government by the people and for the people. And before God, we go, listen, and we begin to personally, we got to deal with ourselves first. And that's what Josiah did. He realized, you got to get in the Word, you got to hear the truth, you know, spoken to you to where you go, get yourself right with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to begin to teach others his ways. Begin to teach others ways. And listen, in America, if enough people begin to do this, the whole nation just turns. And the disaster that was meant for Israel was delayed. It wasn't mm-hmm. going to happen.
Right.
And it's like everybody seems so disempowered. But you know why? You know why? Well, obviously because of sin, but it's a pain being the king.
Mm.
You know?
That's right.
I was thinking about, I mentioned it already, I don't know if it was on break, about, you know, King of Great Britain, when, during the American Revolution.
King George.
King George, that his mother just told him, go, you know, go be king. Go be king, because he was struggling with a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, America, go be Josiah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is you first got, oh, I'm going to have to find out how this country runs. I mean, every king does.
Hello.
That's right.
You see, if it was a monarchy and we were ruled by one king, then you could say, yeah, I don't even know how the country runs.
Mm-hmm.
But since you are king, you are Josiah, you have to know how your country runs. You have to educate yourself. And you have this thing called the U.S. Constitution that you really need to read. And you need to read what God says about you as a Christian and how we're supposed to respond before God. But if we'll do that, we could say, wait a minute. I have First Amendment. I have a bill of civil rights. A bill of civil rights for me, the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment. I have the Constitution that says we put these guys in office to be, we just allow a loan to them, a leadership position. It's like, I need to start being like Josiah.
That's right.
And if you go to VFNTV.com or go to your the VFNTV app, you can actually see, it says, We Are Josiah is the title of this particular prophetic teaching, how American Christians can make a difference. But if we don't wake up like Josiah, because it was going to happen, God was going to come down. And understand, of all the things that we've done wrong, the biggest thing we've done wrong is begin to kill innocent people.
Okay.
Begin to... the innocent bloodshed. And sometimes, because you can live in a generation that has killed so many people that you don't realize how that compares. But the Holocaust, they're under Hitler's rule, over 6 million Jews were horrific. 6 million.
Mm.
That's, and it was horrific what happened. We killed 55 million.
Yeah, right.
55 million children who didn't even get a chance to live a life in a way to demonstrate how they were going to live their life out.
Mm.
And, you know, and listen, if that was you, and God can forgive you. But listen, we got to call it what it is right now, because we got so much blood in the dirt that's crying out like Abel's blood that I don't know how God, I just don't know. And when I see, what I see is happening in America is exciting. But you also wonder, are you Josiah's season or his son's season? You know?
Yeah, right.
And because we're beginning to see things in the atmosphere you thought would never happen, but obviously God is answering prayer. But we're seeing huge turns, like in Texas, where they are saying after 20 weeks, don't kill a child. Don't kill the child in the womb. Don't abort it.
Right.
And if you are going to participate in this abortions, you have to be a related doctor to a hospital,
mm-hmm.
which means the hospital now has to put a billboard outside that says we kill babies, which you're probably not going to have many of those things happen.
That's right.
And it won't be one for long.
Mm.
And then they're saying that bill is a template for other states to be able to begin to look at. But you look at Governor Scott, the governor of Texas,
Rick Perry,
he pressed through and people tried to stop him.
That's right.
You have to understand, that's a Josiah moment.
Mm-hmm.
That was a Josiah moment where he stood up and he could have just said, oh, you know, we tried to vote and mm-hmm. stopped it and just let it go and not mm-hmm. have that on his name. But he stood up, and that was a Josiah moment. And all those men and women, those legislators who were being bombarded by the four or five people who want to continue doing this. That were, some of them were even, as we heard on VFN radio, worshiping Satan out loud.
That's right. Yeah.
They were saying "Hail Satan" and stuff on it. And which I think is good, bringing clarity, because that's actually what's going on.
Reality, yeah.
And for them. And that was a Josiah moment. But there's another Josiah moment in the state of Florida when Governor Rick Scott comes to Escambia County around Pensacola area in the northwest Florida area to sign a bill called Born Alive. That protects the life of the child that in a botched abortion, in other words, they're trying to kill the baby, but they can't kill the baby, and the baby's born alive.
Mm-hmm.
That they are obligated by law to be able to provide, like they would for any other citizen of America and any other patient, health protection. This is I really believe that was part of the key legislation that helped out Texas, because Texas is saying now the ones that are needing to be close enough to a hospital so you can get that child to it. So I believe, and I have that pen in my office, some of the pens. I have one of those pens and a copy of the bill, because Pat and I was there when the governor signed it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And this is what one of the writers of the bill said, and senators and a senator and a congressman was there, and just governmental crew. They said that if this bill would have been on the desk of any other governor that we've ever had in America and in Florida,
wow,
that they would not have signed it. But this governor did.
Mm. Wow.
I remember the word was, that was saying this, that this is going to be, the states are going to have to contend with this law.
That's right.
And look at that. Bam. Wow. Texas comes over and, I don't know, Pennsylvania maybe?
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And this Ohio. Is huge, because if you get a majority, then all of a sudden,
Arkansas
states become Josiah states. I mean, like Texas is a Josiah state, you know. And what's so exciting is to see Florida begin to be a Josiah state.
That's right.
And stand up for what's right. And we're going to begin to see this dominoes begin to fall. And if a majority of states stand up for what's right in this arena, and we continue to pray and understand this can't happen outside of God, that, and what's going to happen too with these new laws is it's helping people see abortion for the murder it is. If you don't call it murder, some people just won't see it as murder. But when you call it murder and you're serving a life sentence like Gosnell, you know, then people start real. And it's just amazing. And this is hopeful, because this means if we stop this, and this is what Josiah did, he began to tore down the altars to Moloch, you know, and Asherah, the sacrificing of babies in the altar of Moloch. He tore that down. This is what's happening. The altars for Moloch are beginning to come down.
That's right.
And it's real, you know, there's a lot of things going on. I said, you know, the mysteries of God, trying to figure out the heart of God. Only, you know, God knows what he's doing. But all I can say is that he is responding to prayer. You know, he's responding to us, crying out to him and say, "Dear God, forgive us for abortion. End abortion. Send revival." Listen, we are Josiah in America. We're the ones that issue the edicts. We can do exactly like King Josiah did, because this is a government by the people and for the people. The question is, what are you going to do with the authority that God entrusted to you? What did King George's mama say? Go be king.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it, in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I like to... Yeah, a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcasts. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record.
No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. Buy the, we're giving it to you.
There
it's
you
yours.
Go.
Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
Big and a beautiful this morning, John Ramos.
Hey.
Hello. We were on a stage ministering, I don't know, a couple hundred men, feeding them spaghetti, ministering the gospel. And I was over there. And we're talking about, I think, racial reconciliation or something. And I said, man, I said, you're beautiful. And all of his masculinity was risked. Like 200 men, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm like, dude, I'm not really telling the truth here. You're not beautiful. No, I'm just trying to make up for the height difference and everything. You know? But seriously, I'll remember that. You're like, oh my goodness, beautiful. Yeah, I meant that in a masculine. Isn't he though?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He's got glamour shots. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Really?
Ian, I'm so sorry. We're getting to our list. This is where we're going.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you for the list, Ian. Thank you.
Welcome to Christian Television Network across the world. You got to see John's glamour shot.
No glamour shots. No glamour shots.
They're all glamour shots. He waits like a long time.
You forgot,
for
really? You know, you were like, oh, please.
Yeah, Ian, get back to Ian's list here.
Ian's list. You're
listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
We've been talking a lot about the harvest, and you know, this is actually one of Rick Joyner's books. Just an encouraging, and, you know, if you have not got this, I encourage you to pick it up.
And the book is called
The book is called The Harvest.
The Harvest. Okay.
And I'm a little bit behind you guys, I'm a little earlier. But there's a chapter, and it's called Equipping the Saints. And what has been so encouraging is he's talking about the fact of, you know, discipleship and just raising up the body of Christ and just pouring out in others. And I mean, I've just been like highlighting after it's like the whole thing's just one big giant highlight. It's powerful. And I've noticed
his books is not something you can listen to on audio. It's like, waste.
No, you really got to slow down. And I've read it before and I'm going back through and reading it again. And it's just really been highlighting. But God stopped me when I was actually reading this. Something just really stuck out to me. And it says, because in this, you know, Rick's, he's talking about the importance of relationships. And he's talking about the fact that there's so many things, but, you know, early in the chapter, he talks about the intricacies of, like, you know, building a plane. And a lot of people don't think about it, but it's like there's specific engineers and, you know, one guy's working on a turbine, one guy's working on, like, the landing gear, one guy's working on the wing, and they might not realize the importance. They don't see the whole picture. Maybe a few people do. They see the whole schematics. But when they bring together their parts, they see, okay, this makes sense. And I was reading it, and it says, you know, we must understand that every part will not be directly joined to every other part. The arm must be joined to the shoulder. And this, he's continuing on talking about in relationship to the body. He says the arm must be joined to the shoulder, not the hip. Ultimately, all of the parts will be joined together, but not many will be joined through other parts, possibly not having much of a direct relationship. It can be futile of a waste of time for us to try to join with every other stream in the church. We must be sensitive to give ourselves only to the relationships that the Lord is establishing for us. And God was just really beginning me to just pay attention to is that so often that we can just get so caught up in everything that's going on and just the things that God's doing across the face of the earth, which is encouraging and it's exciting. But we got to stay focused of just like, okay, God, what is my portion? What have you placed for me? What have you brought me to? And what have you brought to me? And God just began to just take me into that deeper encounter. Like if you focus on like the shoulder, I mean, you can say, okay, arm, shoulder, that's it, right? But when you go deeper and it's like, okay, there's muscles, you know, there's bones, there's ligaments, there's tendons. There's so many detailed relationships that make that connection work. And even more detailed, you got blood vessels, you got veins. And it's like one specific vein or one specific nerve ending can't get caught up in what the muscle's doing or what the bone's doing. And because of the fact that the nerve is being focused on what it's doing, mm-hmm. the whole shoulder is able to come together.
Right.
And so often, you know, I've talked about it before, others who are aware of, like, you know, the inner workings of the body. And it's just like, if you look at, like, your legs, your leg from your hip to your knee is the biggest bone, your femur, and it's your biggest muscle, your quad. And they can think, okay, well, that's the most impacting part of the body. And it's just like, well, have you ever had, like, a bad nerve go back or
oh, yeah.
something in your lower back, you have a nerve go out, and it's just mm-hmm. like the whole body points at that, and it's like something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's just like really highlights, it's just like, okay, if we're not doing our part, if we're not doing what God has called us to do, what God has entrusted us to do, it's going to hinder the movement of the body.
Mm-hmm. The whole body suffers.
Exactly. So you think about it, because every portion is being faithful in the shoulder, every portion is being faithful in the knee, yeah. the hip, the body's able to carry a weight. The body's able to step. But the thing is, though, is the fact that we have to be able to be willing to be that nameless nerve that nobody sees. Because you think about it, there's millions of little nerves. There's millions of little blood vessels mm-hmm. that have to do their job in order for one single body to do their work. And it's just like, that's the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, really, God just began showing me different areas. And it's like, you look at it, you look in the book of Acts, and many people are aware of the Apostle Paul and the extraordinary exploits that he did for the kingdom and how mightily God used his life. Mm-hmm. But what has really jumped out to me is the fact that there were people that sowed into Paul's life. And you look at the Bible and how the Bible describes them, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It calls them the disciples. And you can read about this in Acts 9. It says that, you know, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any names. They didn't have any stories. They didn't have any, like, what their character. It's just, they were called disciples. And you read on, continuing later in that chapter in Acts 9, it says, in verse 27, it says, Barnabas took him, being Paul, and brought him to the apostles. They didn't have any names. But because of the nameless and faceless ones who poured and who were faithful with the relationship with Paul,
yeah.
we still read about the churches, the nations, the regions that were affected by the power of what God did through Paul, but because of those little veins, mm-hmm. those little disciples, and they're not little in any way, because regardless of the fact of that men did, the eyes of men did not see them, I promise you that the eyes of God saw every single moment that they mm-hmm. were faithful with.
It's powerful. Yeah, you know, that's the whole thing. And if you stay in the place of carnality and flesh, you know, it's those that are wanting to be the mm-hmm. face or the this or the that. Mm-hmm. Listen, you know, I often think about, I think it was 30,000 men that built Solomon's temple. You know, those were skilled, every single one of them mm-hmm. who spent countless hours building the temple of God. Nobody knows their name.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Nobody knows what they did. And 8, 10, 12 hour days, who knows? How long, how many years did it take to move the trees? They didn't have the modern technology. They didn't have, you know, everything that it took, the stone to move those. Mm-hmm. And nobody saw them. But believe me, like you said, God sees them. And that's the whole thing about what we're doing for God on any given level. You're not doing anything horizontally. You're always doing things vertically. You're doing it for the audience of one.
Yeah.
And you're not really prepared in ministry unless you're doing it for the audience of one, unless you're doing it for the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And the continuing thing is, like, in the awesome thing about that is, like, when you look at our bodies, and I don't know the depths of this, but you look at, like, the amount of cells that die and pass off. You look at, like, your skin cells and die and pass off. There's a constant changing, right? A constant transition. Mm-hmm. And you look at the fact, like you're saying before in an earlier program, it's just like David was described as a man who was faithful in his generation. And it's like, if God is pouring and making us something known to us of who he is in our generation, we're called to pass that on. It's about that next generation. It's about that next movement so that the body can still be faithful, can still be healthy tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's that much more of a significant impact that we have to be able to be sure that it's about the next generation.
Yeah.
Passing it on.
Yeah. And you got to be, I love what you said, you got to be able to stay in your lane. You got to know what God has called you to. Yes, the body of Christ is diverse. We love the entire body. We love all the different things that God is doing in the body. But you got to know what God's called you to, where he's called you, and what is your part? What is your part of the ark that you're supposed to hold and carry before the Lord? And God's going to judge you based upon that. That's, you know, what he's looking at what he's giving you to do. And so all you have to do is be faithful. Be faithful to what he's told you, and you're going to be okay. Hold the line. Serve God and do great exploits for him. But it's so important because, you know, the move of God that's coming, it's not going to be, as I understand it, it may be all the names that people may think it may be, and maybe they're going to be used. But I believe that there's going to be a lot of nameless and faceless folks that you're talking about, Steve, that are going to be used. And because here's the thing, God has this, I don't know, this weird idea. And it's all about him. You know what I mean? It's all about him. He shares his glory with no man. And he just wants us to get out of the way. See, we're just the tool in his hand. And just as foolish it would be for the hammer to try to shout and say it's about me, or the drill to say it's about me, I'm making all the noise. No, you're just in the master's hand. You're just the tool and the one that's operating it. And if we understand that, that I'm just the tool, God is going to get all the glory. He's going to do what he wants to do. All I'm doing in my life is being prepared, making myself ready for when the time, that moment when God says, I need a pen, and he goes into the jar, I need a pencil, I need an eraser, whatever it is, that you're just saying, Lord, pick me, pull me out, pick me, so that you can be used by the master. Get ready. God's doing a great work. He's looking for you. Will you be the one?
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.
here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.